Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Based on the words of Christ himself, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Let me bust this myth. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you are a disciple.
The anointed preaching of the word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Thank you, Brother Corey. God bless you, truth seekers. I'm so excited, privileged, honored, blessed for the opportunity to be with you this morning, wherever you are. It may not even be the morning by the time you listen to this. I guess I say that a lot. Maybe I shouldn't. It may be the evening. It may be the dark of night. But I pray that wherever you are and wherever your station of life is at this moment, that you will open your heart and mind to the one that can make all things new for you today. The Holy Spirit of God has an opportunity for us to join with him and to learn and to live in his presence. You are in Christ. If you are saved and you know it, you are in him. That means that everything Christ is available to you this very day in the name of Jesus. Amen? Well, I thought I'd do something kind of different today. This is kind of a reminiscence, kind of a nostalgic program for me today, because what I want to do is I want to take you back about 2.5 years for me when I began to have the Lord speak to me about Truth Infusion Ministries, and specifically when God gave me the title for our ministry, the name of our ministry, what it was to be, and kind of through that name we began to understand the calling that God had placed upon us, myself and the other ministers that are involved with Truth Infusion Ministries. It's more than just me. I mean, I know that I guess in some ways I'm the face guy of the ministry. I'm the one that people see more and hear more, perhaps because of the radio programs and whatnot, but it's more than just me. We have other ministers, Jason Edge, Chuck Mansell, Tim Lewis, other preachers and teachers that join with us in Truth Infusion. We have Abraham's Altar, the praise and worship group, and these guys are amazingly blessed to give me a chance to lead worship with them, doing what they do so well, make my job easy. Anybody with half a voice could lead worship with these amazingly anointed and blessed ministers that are around us. And then we've got the music ministry, we've got the radio ministry, and there's several people that make that possible. The only reason this radio program sounds professional or sounds like anything worth listening to technically is because of Matt Watley and the work that he does in the studio for us. If you go to our website and see that it's really a really neat website. It's one that's easy to get around in, and it's functional, and it makes sense, and you can find the information you're looking for. And the reason it works so well is because Kevin Arnold has donated his time to benefit our ministry by being the webmaster. You know, the graphics that we have are because God sent us Tyson Feimster, who's a graphic designer. He's just prepared a way for us to do ultimately what he called us to do. And it's more than just me, and it's way more than just men and women. This is God at work. But 2.5 years ago, when I began to seek the Lord for what it was that he was wanting, what was our mission here? What were we to name this ministry? And what direction were we supposed to march in? The original lesson, the original teaching, the original scripture and passage that God took me to set the whole scene and begin this work was out of John chapter 8. And through it, God put Truth Infusion ministries on my heart. And you heard Corey at the beginning of this as the announcer for Truth Infusion, as he was saying that what we really need is that just like medicine to a sick body, the body of Christ needs to be infused with the truth. And the concept is there that if you're sick, if you're so sick that even pills by mouth won't work, sometimes the doctor will order an IV infusion of some medication, an antibiotic or vitamins or fluid or even blood, whatever it is. And if he finds the right problem and understands what you need as far as a correction for that problem, and he infuses it into your blood system, then the medicine in that IV bag will go right to the source of the issue and begin to combat that issue, and you will be cured, you will be healed because of the right infusion. And I believe the body of Christ has some sickness that we can identify, we can talk about. Some of it we can identify easily. Some of it's more covert. But the truth is this: the answer for every ailment in the body of Christ is not more programs, is not bigger offerings, is not bigger, more beautiful buildings or million-dollar sound systems. It's not how many people you pack into your auditorium that makes the difference. There are churches out there that run thousands upon thousands, but they don't preach the truth. And so the hearts and the lives of those people are as shackled when they leave the services as when they came in, because it's the truth that sets us free. It's the infusion of truth into the body of Christ that makes the difference. And this today that I want to give you is just the brief lesson. I'm not going to take long. I'm going to use 1 week to do it. The lesson that God opened up to me in the Word that set the stage for Truth Infusion Ministries, and it's out of John chapter 8. So let me tell you what's going on in John chapter 8, and then we're going to get into a few verses. Basically, in John 8, Jesus has gathered a group. In that group are different types and kinds of folk. And he begins to teach and to speak to those group of people that are there, and he's not just giving them, you know, devotional style information. He's not giving them just superficial cotton candy stuff. Jesus is laying out some heavy, heavy business for them. He's telling them things like, I'm the light of the world. And basically, if you're not walking in me, you're walking in darkness. He begins to allude to the Father as he and the Father being one. He even begins to say that when you lift up the Son of Man, you know, he's talking about his impending crucifixion. He's saying that you will know I am he. He tells them that if you do not place your faith in me, basically you're going to die in your sins. He's saying some heavy stuff, alluding to the fact that he's the Messiah, alluding to the cross, alluding to him being the Savior, forgiver of sins. Big, heavy, meaty, weighty things. And when you are, even in today's time, if you're in a crowd or group of people and you begin to say things of this nature about Christ, you're going to have the same thing happen that took place at this time in John chapter 8. You're going to have people in the crowd who think that he's crazy. I mean, what would you think if I was with you and I looked at you and began to tell you and whoever we were with that I am the light of your world, that I am one with God, that if you don't believe in me, you'll die in your sins. You'll think I'm crazy. Now, we think that because we obviously know that Christ is the one. But back then, they were looking for the Messiah. He was saying, I am the Messiah. So we had three different types of people forming in this crowd because of what Jesus was saying at this time. We had people that would either think he was crazy, this poor guy, somebody needs to put him in a padded room because he's a lunatic. Or they believed that he knew what he was talking about, but he was just lying. He just was a no good scoundrel telling lies, trying to fool people. Or the Bible says there were others that believed. Okay, and that's where we're going to pick up in John chapter 8, verse 30. As he spoke these words, all that heavy stuff that I was telling you about, as he spoke these words, verse 30 says, many believed in him. And if you study this out, do the word study, what it's pointing at is not that they just, like a lot of Christians do in church on Sunday, they shake their head up and down and they smile a little bit and close their eyes gently and say amen. They're not just agreeing with what he's saying, so to speak. They are placing their faith in him. There were those, as he spoke this word, that began to place their faith in him as the Messiah prophesied of old. Jesus was the one, and there are those that are in the crowd that began to believe upon him as the anointed one of God. And they didn't have an altar call and come forward and repeat these words after me in this prayer and you're now saved. They didn't go through those steps. And in most cases, we as church members and church leaders need to rethink the way we're doing that too. But that's another show. But what Jesus had that you and I don't have is this. He had the ability to look upon the hearts of those that were there with the eyes of God and know what their heart was saying and believing, know the condition of their heart. He knew the ones that thought he was crazy. He knew the ones that thought he was lying, and he knew the ones that believed on him. So verse 30 said, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Now look at verse 31. Here's what it says. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him. Okay, so here's what I want you to see. First, he's talking to the crowd as a whole. He says what he wants to say, and there are those that accept it and begin to believe. Then, at least in Christ's mind, his words shrink down from the crowd as a whole to be focused on the crowd that is there believing, those in the crowd that are now putting their faith in him. He goes from talking to everybody to now addressing just them. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, here's what he said. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Now, what Christ did right here is he set up an if-then statement that I want to bring out. This is very important. I don't know if any of you took the SATs. Or maybe this was on the ACTs. I don't remember. Shows you how much I studied. I took the test. I took the ACTs. I got enough of a score to pass and not have to take it again, and I couldn't even tell you what my score was. There are those that put more time and effort into that, and evidently I didn't. But I believe it was on the SATs that they asked questions pertaining to inductive and deductive reasoning. I don't know if you remember this or not. Inductive and deductive reasoning, basically they asked if-then questions. They would give you an if statement and say then, and you had to select A, B, or C, which one of these is the then. So you've got the cause and effect, right? If it rains, then my tomato plants will grow. If then. If I service my car engine, then it will last for 150,000 miles. If then. Jesus creates an if-then statement for those that believed on him. He said, if you abide in my word. Let's look at that first. Because I want you to understand that this word abide does not mean if you read the Bible once a day. It doesn't mean if you read our daily bread before you go to sleep. It does not mean if you listen to Truth Infusion once a week. This is so much more than a cursory reading of the words on the page. The word abide here means to dwell in, to live in, to make your home in it. It means to make it a way of life. You have to make your life the word that Christ teaches. If you live in, dwell in, make your home in my word, if it becomes your life, not an activity to appease your own mind and make you think that I've done something that brownie points in heaven. Here, God, give me a check mark on my chart. Give me a gold star. I've read the word today. No, no, no. That benefits nobody because in 10 minutes, you're not going to remember what you even read. But that's the extent of most Christians' time in the word. But Jesus didn't say that. First, he said to those that believed, if you abide in my word, if you do, then you are my disciples. So let me be a Mythbuster. You ever watch Mythbusters? Also, you know, it's a good show. I enjoy it. It's entertaining. But the thing that kills me about that show is that was their job, these guys. I don't know if they're still making this show or not. But they spend all day doing the most amazing things, building stuff, had all the funds they needed to build and blow up and create and experiment, and that was their job. That's fantastic. The Mythbusters took a common thought and tested it to see if they could bust the myth, and here's what I'm telling you. Let me be a Mythbuster today based on the words of Christ himself. If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Let me bust this myth. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you are a disciple. If that were true, then Jesus would not look at those that believed and say, if you abide in my word, then you're my disciples, because those that believed would already be disciples. Evidently, they weren't disciples because Christ had to give them the if-then statement. I want you to look at your life, truth seeker, and I want you to ask this question. Am I a believer or am I a disciple? Because being a believer puts you in relationship with God, will get you into heaven one day, but being a disciple makes you a servant on this earth for your family, for those around you, so that you may be used of God in this earth today. Are you just believing or are you a disciple? The difference maker is this. Do you abide in the word of Jesus Christ? If you do not live in it, if it is not your lifestyle, then not my words, right? I'm not telling you my opinion. Jesus said, if you abide, then you are my disciples indeed. So maybe that's corrected some bad thinking, or maybe you've not really spent time thinking about it, but the truth is this, you can't just be on the team and believe that you are a follower of Christ. Maybe you're a fan of Christ, but you're not a follower of Christ. Christ isn't looking for just people that are simply saved. He's looking for those that are sold out, abiding in His Word, so that He might use them to effect change in the world around us. If you abide in my Word, then you are my disciples indeed. Okay, so step one, you've got to believe. That's first and foremost. The journey does not begin until you come into a believing, faith-filled relationship with the Christ of Calvary. Once you are saved, once you are a believer, the next step is, number two, abiding in the Word. Once that begins to take place and it becomes not just something you do every now and then, but it becomes not just something you read, but your lifestyle. Then, step three, you can become a disciple. First believe, then abide, then you can become a disciple. Now let's look at step four, verse 32. And you shall know the truth. Step four, and you shall know the truth. Now the word know in the beginning of verse 32, you shall know the truth. The better translation or explanation of this word from studying the Greek is this: you shall have experiential knowledge of the truth. I want you to know something. There's a big difference in Bible education versus Bible revelation. There's a big difference in head knowledge and life knowledge. I experienced that personally myself when I first began nursing. They put me on a night shift at a rehab hospital, and I realized that there was just three RNs basically in this hospital with 50 beds at night, and I did not have the certification or the knowledge to perform life-saving measures if someone's heart stopped beating, if they coded. I did not have that training yet, and I had to get that because I was one of three RNs. Right? So I went to my supervisor and I said, I've realized this, and I know you probably have. When can I take the training? They set it up. I went through 2 or 3 days of training. I became certified in advanced life support and life care, ACLS. And then the next shift, I tell you, this is the truth. The next shift I worked, the code alarm went off and one of my patients went out. Cardiac arrest. But because I just had all that training popped into me, I knew where to go and what to do. Now, I wasn't as proficient at it as these nurses, doctors that do it every day all the time, but I had enough knowledge and training that I was able to be effective in that situation. I actually shocked this poor lady 4 times with the defibrillator, and she lived. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you something that's true. My head knowledge from the couple of days of training became experiential knowledge when I actually put it to work. And that's what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 8 and verse 32. And he says, and you will have experiential knowledge of the truth. But now let's back up and look at this. If you're not abiding in the word, then you will not be a disciple of Christ. And Christ is saying it is the disciples that begin to have experiential knowledge of the truth. It is the disciples of Christ that see the Word of God that they are abiding in come to life in everyday situations. And I'm talking about moments that don't have anything to do with Sunday morning worship, when most of us experience Bible in our lives. Okay, I'm talking about Monday morning at work, when the boss is acting crazy and your coworkers are backstabbing you and everything seems to be falling apart and your emotions are getting involved, but instead of doing what you regularly normally do, now you've been abiding in the Word, you are my disciples indeed, and instead of all of that taking place and you expressing yourself like a sinner would, you are now living the experiential knowledge of the Word you're abiding in, and the head knowledge of the Word is becoming life knowledge for you every day. This is where the rubber meets the road. Church, this is where the water meets the wheel. It's real when we get to this place and we start living it out in everyday life, so that not only does it affect our everyday existence, but it begins to affect the lives of those we are coming in contact with, and we become administrators of the Word, ambassadors of the kingdom. And the Word begins to come alive in our everyday life, our everyday existence. So, step one, you have to be a believer. Step two, abide in my Word. Step three, then you are my disciples indeed. Step four, then you will experience the truth in everyday life, and you will have experiential knowledge of the truth. And now we get to the part we always like to go straight to when we think of these verses. Right to the icing, right? That's what we're going to do. Forget the cake. Get me to the icing. Here's part five. Let me read all of verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that's the part we all know, right? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me tell you something, though. Truth seeker, you can't get to the truth setting you free until you have walked through all of the steps that Christ himself laid out. Let me bust another myth for you. And you know this, but maybe you haven't ever heard anybody say it out loud. Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean you are walking in freedom. And I see this on the faces, in the eyes, in the words of Christians all over. When I'm ministering in different churches, when Truth Infusion is in different churches and denominations and different communities, helping with different events, serving God's people, what I see commonly from one place to the next are people that love the Lord, they believe they're on the team, they know they're a Christian, but they're living defeated, they're living depressed and oppressed, they're broke, busted, and disgusted, and they really don't even understand why, because they're a Christian, right? I should have all this stuff. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples, and the truth will become experiential knowledge for you, then the truth can set you free. Do you see the progression? You can't get to freedom just because you're a believer. You can't get to freedom just because you are reading the Bible every day. It takes a real effort. The truth is this, abide in the Word of Christ. He will, you know, the Holy Spirit will label you as a disciple. You'll begin to experience that truth in everyday life, and that truth experienced will begin to set your heart and your emotions and your mind at freedom, peace, joy, victory. Victory in the life of the Christian comes because we are abiding in the Word, disciples of Christ, with experiential knowledge. I don't know how much easier it can be laid out for us. And because of this lesson that God brought to me, I remember laying in my bed that night. I just read it, and I laid there, and this message began to pour into my heart. And through this, two things took place. And I'm going to come back and conclude with kind of how we started. Through this brief lesson, two things took place. Number one, God gave me a general direction and mission for this ministry that is bringing you this radio program right now. And it is this: pour truth into the body of Christ. Don't worry about if it's truth that like they want to hear it, or if it doesn't scratch their itching ears. Speak with love and gentleness my truth. And here's where truth infusion came from. When the truth is infused into the everyday experiential life of the child of God, then the result is freedom. And when the individual is set free from the world, from their flesh, set free from the enemy, when the individual is set free, then that free individual living in Christ will take that freedom into their home, and their spouse will begin to get a taste of that, and their children begin to see a father or a mother operating in the freedom of Christ. And soon, because of the power of God in that person, a home will be set free. And then multiple homes in the same church will join together. And before you know it, the body of Christ in that local body will be free, experiencing Christ in everyday life, the truth setting them free. And when the church is free, it is a church that is revived. And when the church is living in revival every day, then the world will begin to experience what the world should experience through the true church of Jesus Christ. This is truth infusion. This is our ministry. Infuse the word so that the church can be the church, and the community will come alive through a church that is on fire for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's what we're all about. Abide in the word and you will be set free. Until next time, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.